Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Report today was concerned. The two that you need to know is Nick Foles was a non-participant because of the hip injury, and Mitch was a full participant. From what I gather via the Twitter, all the questions with Matt Nagy for 15 minutes basically had to do with Trubisky. So let's talk to JD, and Akeem Hicks is another notable name. Akeem Hicks has that hamstring. We all know the difference of the way that defense looks, too, when Hicks is in there versus when he's not in there. He makes a lot of his teammates look better, and he was a non-participant today. So JD joins us on this glorious day, which is also Parker's birthday, I'm told. JD, what's going on?
Sylvie, happy early Thanksgiving, my friend. Yes, it's the day of many gifts and many gift cards. You know, these kids can't have the birthday parties like they would like to this year, but everyone has been very generous, and he is hooked up to the bejesus with PlayStation gift cards and Dick's gift cards. That's pretty much all his world revolves around right now. It's sporting equipment and player stubs for MLB The Show on PlayStation.
That's, I was gonna say, like, life. what's the hip games that he likes to play right now?
He's only playing MLB The Show. He is obsessed with it. It's what he plays. He tries to quiz me on rosters around the league. He's like, how many Mets can you name? Because I can name 15. He's trying to tell me about, you know, Rogers Hornsby, and you can buy the retro cards. Like, he's like an aficionado now on Mickey Mantle, apparently, according to him. So this is what they do. He plays MLB The Show. He does all these challenges. He keeps tinkering with his roster. There have been a couple of days where there have been some tears, Sylvie, because he has sold a Robert Acuna by mistake. And then, I got to find a way to get him back, or my roster's not the same now. I need $50. That's not happening. It's his birthday. He's got his gift cards. He can do what he wants to do with the roster with the gift card. So that is today, and that is also a big day. So I hope Matt Nagy didn't hear the pounding upstairs when I'm sure that he missed out on the Carl Yastrzemski card he was looking to buy today. But
see, it's educational. It sounds it is productive because he's learning history too.
This is true. So, like, he did go through the short Fortnite phase, and I hated that. Sports games, I think you and I are on the same page with this one. Sports games are okay because I played sports games on Nintendo.
Right.
I played Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Oh, yeah. Glorious.
I played that awful double dribble game that I loved. The graphics now, if you would see that. You know, what was it? Not Blades. Blades of Glory. Was that the hockey game?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I loved that
was
game.
Was it Blades of Glory or Blades of Steel?
Blades of Steel. Like,
yeah. Blades of Steel.
I loved that game. RBI Baseball, I played that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was getting a little out of video games when the Madden craze first hit. I did have that first Sega Genesis, but that was pretty much the end of my real prime video playing days. But I understand the sports game, so I'm good with that. And his behavior's a little better playing the sports games than it was playing the action games. So we're okay. He's doing his thing. He's having a good birthday. Bears are having another quarterback thing going on, and
yeah,
I mean there were no other questions to ask. There was nothing. There's nothing else to talk about right now. They're not playing well. They've lost four in a row. They rarely beat the Packers. Another national game that really could go wrong for them. So the only real thing besides Akeem Hicks, who, as you mentioned, Sylvie, did not practice today with that hamstring injury, it's about the quarterbacks. And I mean, you know, Nagy has his reasons for not disclosing who is starting on Sunday night. But if you were on that Zoom call and you were on Monday's Zoom call and you've been watching this closely, clearly all signs are pointing towards Foles not being healthy enough to play in the Bears' estimation and Trubisky coming back off the bench to make that start. I think that's where this is going to head.
JD joining us right now on the Corona Hotline, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So, like, to me, I said earlier when I was reading this, it's the perfect out for Nagy, where he doesn't have to say Foles has failed. We're bringing back Trubisky. This is setting up for Foles not being able to protect himself in the pocket with a hip, and he could then say, because of availability, we're going back to Mitch. And if Mitch plays well, it will give him the opportunity to stay with Mitch. And if not, they go back to Foles. This way, like, as much failure as he's had, he's fired himself as the play caller. I feel like this is just another way where he could have looked bad if he's replacing Foles again with Trubisky. But now I think the injury is the perfect out for him, don't you?
I agree. I mean, 1,000,000%. It's the easiest thing they can do. It's the easiest thing they can do, because then if and when Mitch goes out there on Sunday and gets his brains beaten in, they could go back to Foles if they want to and not have to answer questions about, well, wait a minute now, if both guys were healthy, you're healthy enough to play and you picked Mitch, now you're going back to Foles? Like, what's going to change for Nick Foles between now and Monday if he was healthy enough to play against the Packers? I think it's a no-brainer. People might not want to hear it, but this is where they're at right now. You know, Foles has got a legit injury. Could he play? Like, if this is the Super Bowl, is Nick Foles playing? My guess would be yes. Like, enthusiastically, yes. If Nick Foles was having a good season, Sylvie, would he be playing Sunday night? Yes, right? But he's not playing well. They're not playing well. He is banged up. Go back to Mitch. See what happens. And then just kind of, I hate to use a lovey phrase, but just go from there. I mean, they really are in a week-to-week situation right now. Their margin for error, which at one point was so wide because of that 5-1 start, is down now, Sylvie, to like scraps. I mean, they got to win 4 of 6 to get to 9 to have a chance to get in. Does that seem likely to you, watching them play here the last month and a half?
Not to get to 9, but what if there are some more games that get canceled? We had the Pittsburgh Ravens game moved.
Moved.
Right. I think the NFL would like to add that 8th playoff team. They've already added the 7th for an extra playoff a game on each side. If they add the 8th, then all of a sudden Kansas City and the 1s are playing, so you're adding 2 more postseason games, which means in a year where they're struggling with revenue, they'll have 2 extra first-round playoff games, 4 total now. Don't you think that they ultimately would love to add an 8th team to the postseason just for this year?
Think so. Now, the Bears would have a shot at that. I can't figure out Minnesota. You know, that was a bad loss to the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys are right in the mix of that terrible NFC East. That was a bad loss. Detroit, you can see that's just not happening. I mean, they're going to fire Patricia. That you can't count on them for anything. San Francisco is 4-6. That's a pretty tough team, well-coached team. I wouldn't rule them out. But, yeah, if they expand to 8, Bears have a very good chance. It could happen. But, you know, to go from 5-1 to 5-5, no matter what they say, Sylvie, That will shake any team's confidence. They can't be feeling good going into Sunday with another quarterback change likely on the horizon here, with some guys like Akeem Hicks banged up. Now, you would hope that after the bye week, they could find a way to get him out there this weekend, but didn't practice today. He is still one of those guys where he could theoretically miss practice tomorrow too, and I wouldn't rule him out for Sunday night. I mean, he's a gamer. He wants to go. It's not a season-ending hamstring injury. Plus, for a guy on the defensive line, you could maybe come back a little quicker from that type of injury than if, say, you were a defensive back or a linebacker that has to run around a ton more. But they obviously, you know, they feel the pressure. And you're only getting snippets. You know, Sylvie, on these Zoom calls, it's so brief. I felt bad today because Cody Whitehair was the first guy up, and he was, you know, there was no quarterback talking. They canceled the quarterback.
What are you talking to Cody Whitehair about?
Well, I mean, they're
about how bad the line is.
He's a starter. They just bring these guys. You get the random guy. This is what you get. You spin the wheel. Here's Cody Whitehair. You spin the wheel. You get Montgomery, which was helpful because he tells us that he's cleared from his concussion protocol and he's going to play this weekend. That helps. But then you spin the wheel and you get Robert Quinn. That's how it works. So you can't get that sense, that real sense of dread and doom that like you felt so many times in that building. And I think Nagy really tries his best to keep them upbeat. He's usually very upbeat. He's doing the best he can in that regard. But, I mean, you can just sense it. I mean, of all the teams to play on national TV after a four-game losing streak with another quarterback change on the road, it's the Green Bay Packers. I mean, you could not have – it's the worst possible time for this game to happen on Sunday against this team.
Unless you want them to really look bad and George to take notice. JD joins us as Bears Reports, brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. We have a lot. I mentioned this on Twitter, that David Montgomery, my favorite thing on his Zoom call was that he watched the Bears-Vikings game at home. He said he hated it, and he said that he felt helpless. And I'm like, so did we. He had a lot in common with we. We hated watching it, and we felt helpless, too, watching this Bears team.
You know, to write that story, I had to research again the numbers. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I mean, you do realize, like, have you gone through these numbers for them running the football? Like, they are last in everything. Everything. They're last in yards per carry.
But we self-scouted, and we're going to go back to some of the things that we did the first 3 weeks.
They're last in total rushing yards. They're last in rushing touchdowns. They're last in rushing first downs by, like, a mile. Like, they've got, like, 11 fewer rushing first downs.
And this was an emphasis for them.
This was an emphasis. So, I mean, like... It's good Montgomery's back. I mean, I think he's a talented young guy, and you want him out there, and he can do better for you than what you had against the Vikings. But we do these weekly fantasy questions that we have to answer, right? And I want to just email them and say, guys, stop asking me questions about the Bears and fantasy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you own a fantasy football team, like let's be real, right? I mean, if you have to start Allen Robinson, okay.
Yeah,
you'll
he
get
should be good.
60, 70 yards, maybe a touchdown occasionally. Like, he's a legit number one receiver, so you don't have to feel bad about that. But they keep asking me about Montgomery. Is this the week for David Montgomery? Is this the week for David Montgomery? Now is this the week for David Montgomery? And my answer is no, 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 no.
Right.
Maybe he has a breakout game, and that would be like a sight for sore eyes beyond belief, but there's just nothing is trending in the right way running the football. And, you know, perhaps they feel like because they ran the ball better with Trubisky the first 2.5 weeks that they'll run the ball better against the Packers. All right, maybe. I guess if you're looking for any sort of silver lining to Mitch coming back, it's that you know, he runs the ball better. And they were running the ball better with him. But, Sylvie, that's an awful big leap of faith, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to hang your hat on, well, David Montgomery ran for 70 yards as opposed to 27 when Mitch was the quarterback. I mean, yeah,
my
they
favorite
ran the
thing,
ball better, but not, like, great.
JD, my favorite thing that I read today on Twitter was, oh, I'm really intrigued to see how Mitch does with Bill Lazor calling the plays. I'm like, you know what? You guys are a bunch of suckers. You fall for everything they tell you. Well, let's see how Foles does with Bill Lazor. We'll change here. Let's see how now Nagy does after he changes out Trubisky and he goes with Foles. It doesn't matter with his staff. It doesn't matter with Pace drafting. It all stinks.
Well,
it all stinks.
And they're not even telling you, let's see how Mitch does with Lays. Like, they're not telling you that. I mean, that's not – it came up – I guess it came up in passing today because one of the – you know, one of the scenarios that Nagy was discussing is that Mitch usually, when he comes back from an injury, looks terrible, and he usually comes back too soon. And now on top of that, you complicate things with a new play caller. So that's the only time that Bill Lazor came up today with Nagy was in response to that question. I mean, Nagy's not – if you watch Nagy, And listen, we're doing the best we can with the access. It stinks for everybody. The whole league, it stinks. But when you watch Nagy today, I honestly feel like he's trying to talk himself into thinking that Mitch might be good on Sunday night.
Yeah.
But I think everyone is if you're sitting here saying, "Hang on now, they've got Bill Lazor. He's got fresh legs. This could work." I mean, I can't say like with 100% certainty that he can't play well. He's had some good games in his career. It could happen. Of course.
You know what the Bears have, JD, in closing? They have a bunch of guys who I'd like to have them be my neighbor. I would love Mitch Trubisky as a neighbor. I would love Matt Nagy as a neighbor.
Love him as
Nagy
a neighbor.
Would be a great neighbor.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Pace would be a nice neighbor to have.
Yes.
I don't want them running my football team. Don't.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, I think with Nagy, you get a lot of lawn booze. No, you get those neighbors that like to sit out front and just have the booze with you.
Well, yeah, that's fun.
I think Nagy's a lawn booze guy.
And if
Matt's listening on his way back from Hallis right now,
he's
to home,
not listening. No,
I would say,
to this
dude,
show.
Just polish off a couple of bottles of wine tomorrow. Just
and I love Matt, but not
early,
as my football coach anymore.
Drink some of the grape, you know?
Yes, that's a good advice. I will drink some of the grape tonight as well, JD. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for everything.
You too, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we will talk After Sunday night, I guess. We'll see
you
what
got
happens.
It. Thanks, JD. There's JD. 312-332-3776. I want to take some calls, and I want to introduce you to something called the Circle of Suck.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Video games and sports video games with JD. This song always reminds me of FIFA. I think it was FIFA 95 or something like that.
This is also in Madden 06, I want to say.
Really?
My first Madden. I feel like I remember this being on it.
Yeah, I think I was still playing Madden by 06. Those were my like last year or two. The PS2 was the last game system that I had. Then it was done. You know, it was cool. You had a game system, and it could also play your DVDs.
Right, yeah. Now it can do anything. Like, you can get ESPN on it. You can, I mean, I watch this show on Twitch on my Xbox.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
Yeah, you can do anything on those things now.
So this is what I dubbed the Circle of Suck. This was tweeted out by Mark Long, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they announced today, if you missed it, that Mike Glennon is going to be starting for the Jaguars at quarterback this weekend. Mark Long tweeted this. He wrote, "Here's the craziest part. Mike Glennon got benched in 2017 for Chicago's Mitchell Trubisky, who got benched this year for Nick Foles, who got benched last year for Gardner Minshew, who got replaced by Lutton, who is now benched in favor of Glennon." And I call that, ladies and gentlemen, the Circle of Suck. And unfortunately, it involves a bunch of quarterbacks that Ryan Pace felt would be the solutions. Siv in Algonquin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Siv?
Hey, how's it going? This is my first time calling in. First of all, I want to say, Sylvie, great monologue at the beginning of the show. Really makes me look forward to Thanksgiving a little bit more, and Sylvie strong.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Siv.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask one thing after I make a statement. So there's a little thing that happened during the Falcons game that I think a lot of people might not have caught. It's Trubisky throws it to the left sideline, whether he was throwing it out of bounds or not, we're not sure, but he slaps it out of the air. Matt Nagy does. And it just showed like the attitude he had towards Trubisky and how much he hated what was going on at that time. That was in the second quarter. I knew that he was going to make the change in the third quarter. So it's interesting to see that Trubisky's going to come back for him. And I think Matt Nagy is going to be humbled by that. And two, I was wondering, what are the chances if we suck so bad on Sunday, Matt Nagy gets fired before the week after? And I'm going to leave that to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think they are going to gain. If Mark Trestman didn't get fired with a back-to-back 50 burgers in this season, the Bears aren't going to do that. What Look, what I hope happens is that George just realizes that the entire organization from the top, from the president's chair on down, because you can't change owners, and that they need to restructure. And he needs to talk to Rocky, and he needs to talk, when I say Rocky, Rocky Wirtz. Rocky restructured when he took over the team. Tom Ricketts restructured after he was the new owner of the Cubs, and he realized what was going on and how badly they were behind the times. And I'm hoping that as loyal as George is to Ted, that they restructure and that he has a better advisor in the president's chair, or at least divides it from president of football ops to president of business ops. You don't have to fire Ted for me. He just can't be involved anymore. Waddle used to make fun of me back in 2017 when they were going on the coaching search at the end of the 2017 season. And Ted was on the plane. They had these private plane. They went to Kansas City. They went to New England. They went to Minnesota. I think they even got stuck in a snowstorm in Minnesota. And I said, why is Ted Phillips on this trip? Ryan Pace is your GM. You're the owner. Why is Phillips in the room? Why does he have any say? You know, and if you read Ted Phillips' bio on the Bears webpage, it will say that Ted Phillips hired Ryan Pace, for those who think he's not involved, that he's just a bean counter. No, he's involved. He's high up. George trusts him. George should not trust him anymore. And the point of this whole thing is they need to figure out a new way of doing business. And it starts at the top. And the president, a new president has to hire a new GM. The new GM has to hire a new coach. And the new GM has to draft a new quarterback. And they have to do business differently to finally figure out why this team for years, decades, this is not year to year, this is decade to decade. There is never sustained success for the Bears. You get a flare up in 01, and then they suck in 02 and 03 and 04. And then they flare up again in 05. They get kicked out of the playoffs early that year. Okay, they go to the Super Bowl in 06. They're on top of the mountain, and then they draft Cedric Benson with a fourth overall pick, and they could have a chance to really do some damage, but they don't. And then they fall from the mountaintop. They get back to the NFC Championship game in 10, and they don't go back to the postseason till 18. That's not good enough. That's not building sustained success. And they need to find out why that this team, decade to decade, why they can't build sustained success. And until you want to answer those tough questions, you will continue to flare up from here and there. You'll get lucky. A good defense will carry you. You'll have some good fortune in football when people start believing in themselves, but you will never build it up like year in and year out until you solve that quarterback situation. That's why the teams with the good quarterbacks go consistently. The Bears have to do that. Ryan and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Sylvie. Yeah, great job. Yeah, so I'm originally from Minneapolis. The Art Museum, downtown Minneapolis. You literally go there, put your hand out, and squirrels will come up and eat out of your hand.
See, I don't trust them. Do you trust the squirrels, though, to not bite you or to do something weird to you?
You know, I tried to do it when I was like 9, and a squirrel came up to me, and then my mom, you know, she sent my brother running over. I always blame my kid brother, but I figure, you know, he was being held by her. So no is the answer to that.
That's good.
But I tried to do it, and people I know did it.
Yeah,
and you could probably do it if you went to the Art Museum in Minneapolis.
I'm not doing it.
Guys wearing Viking jerseys, seeing squirrels all over the place.
Yeah, if you described a place right now in the United States where probably it's like the second to last place I'd rather be. Minneapolis at the start of winter with a bunch of Viking fans where there are a bunch of squirrels who are not scared of humans. I will pass on that big time.
That sounds unsanitary even in non-COVID times.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's nothing appealing. There are so many places that you could appeal to me that I would say, you know what, under normal circumstances, that could sound good. I could enjoy that. But going to the Art Museum in Minneapolis to feed the squirrels where there are a bunch of Viking fans, no.
Yeah, hard pass.
Paul Allen yelling at me, being very homerish about his Vikings, no. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll get a Packers report. Our good buddy Jason Wilde does the morning show over at ESPN Milwaukee. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's really tough to talk any trash when we want to so badly to our neighbors to the north. But the stats are so bad, and we are so disappointed in our football team, and especially offensively. Just that's the thing. It's all about offense these days. It's all about the quarterback, and that's where the Bears just continue to stink. The Bears have lost six in a row. We mentioned this with Doug Kazarian. They've lost six in a row coming off the bye. Think about that. And I believe, as Doug told us, they failed to cover in all of those games as well. The Bears are 3-17 in the last 20 games against the Packers. We thought it was bad in the Wanstead years. I mean, they're 3-17 in the last 20 years. In the last 30 plus years, they're 42-18. 18-42, I should say. The Packers have won 42. The Bears have won 18. This has been so lopsided. And again, we're at a situation where they've got the quarterback, we don't. They've got the coach, we probably don't. They've got the general manager with some flaws, and we don't. Let's talk to Jason Wilde, who we've talked to for years on this show, and I've even made fun of him. I can't do that this year. Wilde and Tausch, every morning, 9 to noon, on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. And Jason Wilde joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Dude, you can always make fun of me. This morning, I was talking about how good the Bears' rushing offense was, and then Tausch is like, they're like 31st in the league. So you can make fun of me anytime.
They can't, and that's the thing. Like, if you want to say, like, that's your trigger, like, your defense mechanism. Like, when you want to do a little bit of a Lou Holtz thing and you want to give the Bears a little bit of a credit, you can default to, hey, they run the ball really well, you know? But the Bears don't even do that. They don't do anything. Right. They play defense. They have some good special teams. That hasn't changed since Lovie. But no, they don't rush the football, and they do nothing well offensively. They have zero identity.
Yeah, but other than that, things are going well.
Yeah.
It's funny because we just got done with Rodgers with our Zoom call with him, and I brought up the time, God, it's got to be close to 15 years ago now, where I asked Favre in his Wednesday press conference how many of the Bears' starting quarterbacks he could name from his time facing them. It might have been 06 or 07 that he did that. And it was really fun. It was a great moment. Not so great if you're a Bears fan. But he got into it. Like, he really enjoyed it and wasn't trying to be a jerk about the Bears. It was just like a challenge for him. And then today with Rodgers, I don't want to do that again, but doesn't it really underscore the difference between the Packers and the Bears? Is that you guys have had Favre and now you, and they have just continued to search for the quarterback, and how hard it is in this league if you don't have that guy to spend so many years looking for that guy and you can't get it wrong. And look, I'm not here to rub it in on Bears fans. The reason why I say this is because we could be on the precipice of the Packers getting it wrong. And if they move on from Rodgers before they should, and then Jordan Love turns out to be the Packers' Mitch Trubisky, then suddenly things can take a very big change. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes in future years. But we both know where it is right now.
What did Rodgers say in response to that?
He was great. I mean, I know you guys have Thanksgiving tomorrow, so you're not going to be able to use it, but maybe you guys can get the audio from it. It's the first question. So if you go to Packers on Twitter, they post the Zoom calls with us right away, so you guys can steal the audio. But his answer, I mean, I've got it here transcribed. You really want me to read on the radio?
Yeah, sure. So what you asked him to name, did you quiz him again? Can you name all the Bears starting quarterbacks?
So what I said to him was, look, I reminded him of what I did with Favre. I said, look, I don't want to do that again, but can you kind of talk about how this separates basically the Packers and the Bears? His answer was this. That seems like a semi-loaded question, Jason, which it was. It's been fun to carry on the tradition in Green Bay of the great players who have played quarterback. You know, he goes on, he talks about Starr and Favre. He brings up Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey. It's a tough position to draft to scouts, and then you never know exactly what you're getting from a leadership standpoint. I've always said from the time I was drafted, things I felt separated me from other players is the things you can't really measure. It's the competitive drive. It's the dealing with adversity. It's presence, moxie, toughness. You don't have the analytics for those things. You can think you've got the perfect guy many times, and you just never quite know how that person is going to deal with adversity, how they're going to deal with injuries, how they're going to deal with their dogs barking
with the
in their
dogs
house,
barking in the background.
How they're going to?
I know
how
the feeling. Don't deal, worry. Not with dogs, but with kids.
How they're going to deal with their teammates? how they're going to deal with off the field adversity, in the locker room, in the meeting room adversity, confidence wise. There's a lot that goes into playing this position, and I'm fortunate to be a part of a great group playing right now. And he talks about all these other great quarterbacks, but then his closing line, with my dogs even getting quiet because they want to hear this. I think it's a really good time for quarterbacks right now, but at the same time, it's tough to find that guy. And when you get him, you've got to hold on to him.
Yeah.
that was his walk-off line.
Sure. So let me ask you about that, because that's the most intriguing thing to me, because that's a sort of a fantasy, like that the Packers somehow, some way screw this up, and in a year from now, after next season, they part. I don't know how the Bears would get him, because it would have to be a trade, I would think, but are they still, I mean, if Rodgers is playing next year like he's playing this year, how could they move on from him?
Other than financially, I don't really know, Sylvia. I mean, look, I have a lot of history with the quarterback, and I obviously like him, and did a radio show with him, and have a really strong relationship with him. But I try not to let that kind of overpower my attempts to be unbiased, but I look at him, I look at the way he's playing, I look at the fit that he is in this offense, and I wonder again what made them feel the way they did, that they went up and got Jordan Love. Now, I will say this, I do think that these young coaches, these smart young coaches that come from these similar systems, whether it's Shanahan, LaFleur, Sean McVay, whoever, I do think they feel like they've got such a smart, well-designed offense that anybody can play quarterback in it. You don't have to have a Hall of Famer playing quarterback for it to be successful and effective. But I go back to something that both Shanahan and McVay told me when I asked them about this offense with LaFleur and with Rodgers running it. And they both talked about how envious they were, that they love their guys and all that other stuff, but they don't get to have a future Hall of Famer at this point in Goff and Jimmy G's careers running their offenses. And that it takes this offense to an entirely different level, as well-designed as it may be, when it's being run by a guy like Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think this is going to be a game, as we got to run after this, where they go back a little bit more to the run game to get them a little bit more balanced, and especially if Akeem Hicks isn't able to go with a hamstring, it could be the perfect moment for them to do that?
Yeah, that would be the – and I'm sorry I wasted all of our time with dogs. That would be the best case scenario for them if Hicks doesn't play. They need to run the football. They have not done it well the last several weeks. Matt LaFleur has talked extensively about not being happy with their lack of production there. But doing it against that defense and doing it against a defense with Hicks in the lineup is really hard to do. And so I would think that they want to run the football. They also want to make sure that they're not allowing the Bears pass rush to tee off on Rodgers. Rodgers is great about getting the ball out quickly this season as part of this offense and running it properly. And their offensive line, despite injuries, has done a pretty darn good job of protecting them. But I don't think they want to keep living the way they have been living with a largely unproductive running game.
Wildy, I appreciate it as always. Thinking about your family, especially in these times, my brother. And stay in touch, okay?
I cannot wait. I'm hoping I get to see you in person after the first of the year from a social distance when I come down to Chicago for the finale.
You got it. Thanks, Jason.
All right, buddy. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy. It's Wildy and Tausch. ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, 9 to noon. Part of the Good Karma Brands group that we are now a part of for the last year. He's a great, great guy and a great, great teammate. Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bears, I've had a lot of fun on this day with Waddle off today, talking to you today. And then we'll get to Michael Wilbon at 5 o'clock. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at The Home Loan Expert. Have you locked in on your refinance yet? What are you waiting for? Do what I did. Apply online today with their 5-minute loan approval. Only available with Ryan Kelly and thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You know who I talked to today? I talked to my buddy, Jarrett Payton. JP's been doing great work at WGN Sports on television, Channel 9. We taped an interview together. It's going to be airing tomorrow on their sports wrap-up show that airs at 10:30. So tomorrow night at 10:30, if you're still up, if you're still awake, check that out on WGN. I got a chance to do a Zoom interview with JP today, and I'm really proud of the Payton family, of JP, and how he's paved his own way and has worked hard and grinded. His dad would be very, very proud. I want to get to some of these calls at 312-332-3776. Note on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Note?
Hey, Sylvie, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Pretty good. So, as you might know, I'm a longtime listener, occasional tweeter. And every now and then I'll pop in on the Twitch chat.
Sure. I see you on the Twitch chat.
So I kind of want to start off this call on a bit of a serious note and then talk about Thanksgiving. So I lost my father to complications from non-Hodgkin's earlier this year in August. And I just wanted to say I'm really happy that you're in remission, and just wanted to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, I'm just glad that you're doing well.
I'm sorry to hear about your dad. I was unaware of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple months, but it's, our family is doing strong, so we're good. Thank you, though. So with Thanksgiving, now we'll get a little less serious. Thanksgiving with my family has not always been like the biggest holiday. Depends on the year. This year we decided to kind of forego it just to play it safe. So for me, it's actually just going to be just myself this year. I do have a lot to be thankful for, but I think it's going to be a pretty nice little Thursday for me. It's going to be me and a bucket of fried chicken, hopefully.
There you go.
Maybe some roasted garlic, rosemary, butternut squash. That's my specialty. A box of Stovetop, maybe some football, possibly some wagering. Maybe cap it off with a season of Cobra Kai, maybe the Queen's Gambit. Maybe finish that Mandalorian I have yet to do. I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time.
There you go. Have you seriously watched? You haven't watched the whole series of Cobra Kai yet?
I actually haven't started it. I've been told it's really good. I've heard you guys talking about it. So.
And I'm on episode 8. We're on episode 8 of The Queen's Gambit, which has been a hugely successful show on Netflix.
Yeah, I need to get on those.
It's really good, yeah. Queen's Gambit, it may scare you away with the name. And note, all the best to you and your family. Sorry to hear about your father. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know how long you've been supporting the show, and we really appreciate you. Queen's Gambit may scare some people off because of the name. Like, what is this, an English show? Is this about? And it's not true either. This is a fictional series on Netflix, and it's about a girl who grows up in Kentucky, and she becomes just this superstar in chess.
I started it last night. It's on the first episode was great.
It's really, really good. and it came highly. I think it's the highest downloaded show ever for a nonfiction series on, or it's a fictional series, I should say, not nonfiction. It's fictional, and it's the most downloaded for a fictional series on Netflix. So get on that. It's really good. Nicholas and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sylvie, Tyler, how you guys doing? Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
You too. Thanks for calling.
I wanted to hear your guys' opinion on... I'm sorry, that's the GPS to my Amazon van. I wanted to hear your guys' opinion because we always talk about how we gave a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles, and every time I hear that, I think about how San Francisco gave a fourth-round pick for Trent Brown. And to think if James Daniels didn't get injured the way he did, if we'd have a healthy James Daniels along with Trent Brown at the left tackle, how much different our offensive line would be and how much different our offense would look.
Of course. Of course. I mean, like, those are so important, protecting the quarterback. It's such a great point. And again, like, you had chances. They felt they wanted the guy that they knew. And, yes, the ceiling was higher. I was okay with it because I was down on Trubisky, my guy. I always kept bringing up Cam. I was one of the few guys who I didn't care. I thought for the money that they keep spending on guys like Jimmy Graham, these frivolous overspends at tight end, whether it's Deion Sims, whether it's Trey Burton now to play for the Colts, whether it's Jimmy Graham now, that to put a couple of million, $2-3 million, even though it's not guaranteed with his injury, to Cam, that these draft picks, whether you go invest in a veteran because he's having a divorce from Washington or wherever, or drafting a lineman, someone that you can build. There are a lot of good players in the NFL of 10-year careers who are drafted in the fourth round. It's actually something that Ryan Pace has thrived on. So they're just too quick to part with the draft capital. And here we are again with now the result of, after five short games, knowing that Nick Foles has no future in Chicago, except maybe as one of the highest paid backups. And that's not a good way of doing business either. 312-332-3776. We'll continue to take your phone calls. And then we've got Michael Wilbon coming up next. The last time we talked to him was on draft eve. That feels like 3 weeks ago. It was only a week ago. And does he like what the Bulls did? We'll talk about the Bears and Packers. A lot to get after, and there's hope for the Illini as well. So we've got Wilbon at 5. See what's going on in his Thanksgiving, and he joins us in two short minutes.